Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Kenny McElroy, KBRC Buck and Bulls.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, let's just get this thing started. Hello, PBR fans. I'm your host, Porter Chappelle. Today we have a guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Kenny McElroy, owner and operator of KBRC Buck and Bulls.
Okay, and before I get into things, a bull of yours that I've really been liking is Old Fort Days. And, you know, I heard that, you know, your daughter or son was watching the NFL and, you know, saw him buck, and, you know, you called the owner of them and bought them. If you could kind of go into detail on, you know, how that transaction went through, if you can.
Yeah, we was all kind of watching the NFR there on TV, and I got up and went and let the dogs outside, of course, because everybody else was watching TV, so I didn't get to watch him go, and everybody was in awe, and my daughter Josie says, "Hey, Dad, you need to really watch this white bull. He was pretty awesome," and so we rewound it, and I watched him go, and I'm like, "Who owns that bull?" And she says, "I think it's Sammy Andrews." And of course, I had Sammy's number, and I kind of let things die down a little bit. And I called Sammy the next morning, probably around 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "Sammy, I said, would you be interested in selling Old Fort Days?" And he said, "Well," I goes, "I think I probably just want to keep him." And I said, "Well," I said, "good luck with him." I said, "If you change, call back." And he said, "Not a problem." And oh, it was about 10, 15 minutes went by, and Sammy called me back, and he said, "Hey, I think I want to sell that bull." He said, "I think he'd be a good fit for you." And I said, "Well," we went over the details, and I wire transferred the money, and that was kind of the name of that tune. And we actually owned him before he left the NFR there. So, you know, I was pretty excited to get him and have him on our truck for this year. And of course, as you know, he's up for Buck and Bull of the Year this year and in the PBR. And so we're pretty excited. We're happy to have him in that running.
Oh yeah. And I mean, not just him, but another bull that's actually not even fully out of the BBI event, Big Black. Big Black is a young bull on tour, but he's really just kicking the lights out. What is kind of your, focus with him going down these lines, kind of seeing how good he is at such a young age?
Well, you know, Big Black was reserve world champion as a 3-year-old in the ABBI last year. And so that kind of got my attention there. And I had asked the gentleman that owned that bull if he was for sale at the finals last year. And then all of a sudden he showed up in the ABBI premier sale. And my dogs are going crazy. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
We ended up purchasing him at the finals, and we were really, really tickled. We have partners on him.
Yeah.
And we have partners on him, Joe and Nina Webb. And he's just a joy to be around. He's kicks the lights out. He does everything you want a bull to do. And he's a big bull. He's a bull. He weighs, right now he's weighing in at about, 2,045 or 50 pounds.
Dang.
As a 4-year-old. He is a special bull.
Yeah.
I love Old Fort Days, don't get me wrong. But I think Big Black has a bright future in the PBR.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I think he's going to be a bull that's going to be in contention the next, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. Because I take care of my bulls. I go to about every measure you could think of to keep them healthy. And he gets chiropracted. He gets MagnaWave. He gets acupuncture therapy. He gets, I mean, this dude lives like he lives in a spa, you know. And, you know, I have MagnaWaves that take the soreness out and out of their muscles and get their blood flow running. So, I mean, you know, the little things that we do to maintain our bulls is something that I take a lot of pride in, and getting the longevity out of these bulls. And, you know, giving them a break. I don't like bucking them more than maybe 2 weekends in a row, and give them a break and let them get their bodies back in shape, you know, where they're not sore and body sore, because let's face it, you know, they're no different than a professional athlete.
Oh yeah.
You know, that gives it 125% every time they buck. So they're going to get sore. And,
yeah.
So we just prolong it and make it affect them the way that we would want to be affected, you know, I guess. And,
yeah.
But, he's on a strict diet and he's on a, exercise program, and so is old Fort Days is the same way. We take a lot of pride in our animals, and I hope it shows when everybody gets to watch him buck. So,
oh yeah. Well, going to, you know, him being only a 4-year-old, you know, he's right now sitting, I think, I don't know, maybe 4th, 5th in the list as a 4-year-old, and you know, he kind of reminds me age wise of how this year's, I guess, front runner Bruiser bucks, because you know Bruiser as a 4-year-old and all that stuff was, you know, kind of starting to get into his own element. And
right.
With Big Black, you know, the, I guess, the older, more ranked bulls are kind of coming into their final few years of being ranked. And you know, Big Black, he's just right with them as a 4-year-old, so you know he can most definitely be able to win a championship in, you know, in, you know, the next 2, 3 years, maybe 4 years. But so, you know, being able to have two good Willie Wank bulls in this championship series must be really thrilling.
It's amazing. You know, as a stock contractor, and you know, when we first started in the business, you know, we carried 3 bulls to events, and got our first year in the PBR, we took all 3 bulls to the finals, and you know, we've just progressively gotten better as the years have gone, you know, I feel, you know, really good about the bulls that we're hauling now and what we've accomplished, and it is a true honor, you know, to have bulls in that top, you know, the top 6 or 7 of the world, because there's so many good bulls now, you know, and for these bulls to have 8 outs throughout the year and be the best, you know, that they can be with that, that just goes to show you that they love what they do, you know, and taken care of, they can do it for a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm. A bull of yours that's, I retired now, but a fan favorite of in the PBR in mind, Mississippi Hippie. Are there any little guys coming out now?
Oh yeah, we have. I actually have a yearling right now out of him that weighs about 1,500 pounds.
Jeez.
So he is going to be an absolute monster. We call him Chip Off the Hip.
Yeah.
We have bucked him a couple times with a dummy, and. Just he's going to be an amazing athlete. You know, he's got everything that his daddy's got. And if you go back, and I remember watching Hippie when he was a youngster, and you know, Hippie was at 3 years old, Hippie probably weighed 1950. So,
yeah.
But I see a lot of his daddy in this calf, and I have some heifers out of him that, I have bred back this year to Houday.
Yeah.
The little 1327 Houday, which was, you know, we retired him last year at the finals because of an injury. But he's doing fantastic, you know, and Hippie's doing fantastic. And they'll live out their life here. You know, those bulls have nothing more to prove anywhere, anytime. And just like you say, I get so many phone calls and Facebook messages on, you know, Hippie, and we'll post pictures and videos of him. And it's just amazing. It's kind of heartfelt to know that the fans still miss him, you know, and oh, how special he really was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that just kind of shows to the fact of, you know, who the people who own the bulls are. You know, if the fans love them, then that means that that bull's out there bucking, you know, consistently a solid week in and I'm a week out. Another bull of yours, King Lopez, who was really just a great bull to get on to win round after round after round. How's he doing?
He's doing fantastic. We actually, I bucked a set of calves out of his this past weekend, and I had 9 bull calves out of Lopez that are 2-year-olds coming threes. They'll be Derby bulls next year, and they were absolutely phenomenal. I have one that looks just like him, looks like a twin next to him in the field. He's just smaller.
Yeah.
But just like his daddy. I mean, up a lot of up and down and kick and sucks back under himself. And I am really excited to start bucking some of his offspring next year. And we did the same thing with Houdat, you know, 540 Houdat was the same way. And I've really kind of basically, and 30 uppercut. Uppercut is what we started our breeding herd with. And we took the uppercut cows and bred back to Lopez and Houdat and kind of started our own thing, you know. And we are we're fixing to unleash some really, really good bulls here in the next year.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we have bulls out of those two bulls, plus, you know, bulls, you know, in the next 3-4 years come out of Big Black, Old Fort Days, and, you know, just – a full combination of just all these rank bulls that, you know, you have to cross back to one another and all that stuff. So, you know, going down the lines, it'll be really fun to watch as a fantasy. These young bulls have so much kick and jump and all that stuff to them.
Oh, yeah. We're really excited. We also bred 107 Rock and Roll, and we got some calves out of him and just we are really excited, you know, to unleash a lot of new stuff. And this year's calf crop that we're going to have hitting the ground about April, we bred Buckeye Bill, Slinger Jr., Freak of Nature, Inferno, Rocco. I mean, we bred to some bucking dudes. We've crossed all our cows, you know. There's some Showtime cows, there's some, you know, there's some really, really good bred stuff on the bottom side to cross with those, and we are really excited. And then this year's weanling crop that I have that we're just getting ready to wean off when we get home from the finals, they're all out of Rock and Roll and a bull that you might remember, 260 Damn Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a hot damn son out of a own daughter, a gunslinger on the bottom. So we've got definitely the genetics coming back into our stuff.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. For those who don't know, what is it like not just to own, you know, these ranked bulls, but just to own, you know, all these bulls in general? Like, what, how much effort does it take to haul, feed, breed, you know, do all that stuff?
Oh, it's, you know, I'll be honest with you, I almost forgot that we had this podcast tonight because I was out actually unloading round bales off of flatbed, and And you know, I have four guys here that work for me 7 days a week, and my wife and my daughter and my son. You know, it's a family run deal, and it takes every one of us, you know, every day. There's we get up, we start about 7 in the morning, we feed, there's 125 head of bulls here on the place. So we feed, start at 7 in the morning. When we get done feeding, if we got fencing or anything else that needs done, we work on that and get a bite to eat if we're lucky at noon. And then, you know, we finish up the day about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We give our nighttime feed. So, because we feed twice a day. You know, most of the bulls are on pasture, but, you know, old Fort Days and them, they got kind of their own lots. They're got about half acre apiece, and they're all individualized, and some bulls can go together and some can't. And, you know, that's, it's kind of, it's hard when you go loading and doing things, and because there's so many bulls that have been raised up through the years that have never been hauled with anything else, you know, so they're kind of loners. And Big Black is one, he will fight with anything that comes around him other than 514 bottoms up, which made the finals this year, another 4-year-old. But those two are like buddies. I can turn them out in the field, and but now if you go to put them in a trailer together, 514 just thinks he's gonna die. You know, he just, he can't stand it. You know, he gets real nervous, and then you just separate them off, and then they'll stand next to one another and lick on one another. But you can't put them together on a trailer. So, you know, you just learn, everything's different. You know, I have a 53-foot ground load trailer that's got 7 cuts, and then I just bought a pot because I've had so many singles, and some bulls I can put 3-4 together, you know, and they got plenty of room. So now I have a pot that's got 10 or 12 cuts on it, and if I got plenty of room, and it's going to be really nice. We have 12 bulls going to the finals this year, and I'm taking the pot, and everything's going to have all kinds of room and be in great shape. So it takes us about three days to get to Vegas. So we're going to head out Monday morning and be in Vegas on late Wednesday afternoon, and get everything settled in and go from there.
Yeah. Well, I guess going off of that, well, the bull side of things, whenever, you know, you have like a 2-year-old or just a newborn, or like whenever they're in a shoe getting ready to buck, what do you look for in a bull to, you know, continue to keep them and buck them and all that stuff? Because I know that some people want a more of a round winner, some want that championship bull, and then others just want just a good overall solid bucking bull. So for you guys, what do you look for in, you know, deciding what sells and what stays?
Well, I think my biggest thing is a wow factor. You know, I look for those bulls that are completely vertical. You know, their front end comes off the ground, you know, 2 foot. When they buck and when they turn back, how much intensity they got, you know, the whip, the way they whip their head, the way they whip their hind end. And, you know, we do that when we buck them as yearlings. And I may see some calves in there that may not turn back, but they just absolutely have a ton of kick. And, you know, I can't see getting rid of a bull that's got all the kick in the world, because he will eventually turn back.
Yeah.
And then you may have some that just aren't going to cut it. You know, I mean, you'll know when you watch them, they may just hop and have no kick or anything like that. Or they may turn back and be really flat, you know, and I have a lot of rodeo guys in this part of the country that they're not looking for that overly ranked bull. You know, they just want good rider-friendly bulls that guys will come get on at their events. Yeah. And, you know, they normally buy my what I would consider my calls. And I don't get crazy on price wise, you know. I think if somebody can buy these bulls at a good rate and they work good for them, they're going to come back and buy more. You know, yeah. that's the name of the game. And being honest, you know, I think that's the big part of this game. And I call it a game because, you know, when you're bucking young bulls, it's a crapshoot. You know, they may really buck at home and then you may take them, you know, 200-300 miles down the road and they just decide, well, they don't want to buck that day. And you can bring them back home, and they might fire as soon as you get them home. But, you know, them young bulls can humble you real quick. And, but there again, if you get one that really starts and likes it, he's going to continue to like it. You know, I think those type bulls just get better and better as time goes. You know, like Chip off the Hip, he's going to be a two-year-old, and I know he's not going to be a dummy bull because he's too big.
Yeah.
But I'm going to turn him out in the pasture field with grass up to his belly, and then come in his three-year-old year and I put a rider on him, then I'll know what I got, you know,
yeah.
And take the time. But there's a lot of people that can't do that. You know, they don't have the means or the ground to hold another bull a whole nother year and feed them and go through all that, you know, and I understand that too. Yeah. But I'm kind of partial, you know. When I raise one that I think's really good, I'm going to hang on to him and I'm going to test him, you know. So, and I did that with some of these two-year-olds. I didn't buck with a dummy, and we bucked them with a rider for the first time because they're going to be coming threes in January. Yeah. And boy, howdy. I mean, if you would see the videos from when they had a dummy on their back to a live cowboy, there's no comparison.
I mean,
you know, these bulls, they were the real deal. So I'm pretty excited with what we've got coming and what we've done. And we're actually talking about doing a production sale and putting some of our stuff out there for other people to enjoy and, you know, try to make a name for ourselves as a better breeder. So we've already made a name for ourselves for bucking bulls. Now we want to make it as a breeder too. So
really, because, you know, I want to eventually, I guess, you know, get started, you know, on some bulls. You know, I went out to the James Gangs event down in what was that event called? Bordertown.
Yeah, Bordertown.
And you know, I saw Dennis. You know, Dennis is a sponsor on this podcast. You know, I saw him. You know, I got to, you know, water the bulls and all that stuff. And it's like a really interesting thing whenever, you know, you sit at home watching the, you know, bulls buck and think, I want to do this, compared to actually getting out there and doing it. It's a lot more, I guess, if you, you know, really enjoy it. It's, you know, like being a kid in a candy shop.
Oh, absolutely. There's no, I can't think of anything that's a better adrenaline rush is watching your bulls perform to their best of their ability. And,
oh yeah.
And, you know, you kind of get that, you know, like Black's last two trips at the Built for Tough, he was high mark bull event. He marked a 46 both outs. And,
yeah.
You know, I was like one of those peacocks with his chest stuck out there, you know, and it's an all around great feeling, you know.
Oh yeah.
To have your bulls perform to their best of their ability and week in, week out and do their job. There's no feeling like it. And even somebody that comes into the business, you know, we have I have a couple partners, some other partners, and I got a man, Will Briggs, which is owner of Bull Creek, and he's actually a partner on the hard stuff.
Yeah.
And he has a couple four-year-olds, and his classic bulls are going to be at the finals this year, and then the hard stuff made the finals. And, you know, so he is just like, you know, his first year in to have three bulls going to the finals is just, you know, he really
best feeling out there.
Yeah, he is really feeling, you know, feeling everything that's awesome. You know, he's like, this is a feeling that, you know, you really can't describe until you just go do it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, even though, like, for example, whenever Asteroid would buck, you know, I love seeing Asteroid buck. You know, whenever Asteroid have a huge out, I felt like I was the owner of that bull. Like, I was on, like, I was just wowed. I was like, yes, you know. And then, you know, if that bull has a horrible out, I just feel like I just, you know, lost my house and all that stuff. Like, it, like, just dropped me. And, you know, just imagine being, you know, the owner of that bull, you know, being a fan and being an owner. Even though, you know, you still love that bull, the same mental happiness and sadness is kind of different. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you might have won money or you might have lost money. And right. That's why in bull riding, it's like, you know, I put forth so-and-so amount of money in this bull. And, you know, these two, three events, he's not doing his job. But then, you know, one event, he just blows out the... just blows out the gate, and you know that's when you kind of realize, you know, this is why I like breeding and owning these bulls, is for, you know, this effort that they put in week in and a week out.
Oh yeah, for a definite fact. Yeah, and I've had that feeling when I was at the Iron Cowboy in Arlington, and Hippie got hurt.
Yeah.
Ended his career. I was more concerned with him versus anything. You know, I still had probably four or five more bulls to buck, and
yeah,
I was almost to the point where I'm like, just somebody else flank my stuff, because I want to get him out of here and I want to get him to a university as fast as I can. And so, I mean, it's a feeling that you don't wish on anybody, you know. It's but they become a member of your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day that Mississippi Hippie, you know, passes away or does something, and it'll take me a while to get over that one. You know, he's like losing a part of the family, and you know, and I've got that way with Old Fort Days and Black, and you know, every one of these bulls have such a personality that people don't get to see because they're just, you know, they watch them on TV. But when you're around them 24/7, you get to see their little perks and how they act and the little things they do. And, you know, Big Black is like the biggest play baby you ever see in your life. You know, he runs and jumps. And when you turn him out, he exercises himself. And when he's done exercising, you know, he'll come over and blow snot at you. And you think he's going to run you over. And then he just walks over and starts eating grass. You know, and then when you run him in, you can go pet on him or love on him, and you think he's another dog, you know. By golly, when you load them dudes into bucking chutes, you know, I think that's something else I look for in my calves. When you load them in the bucking chute, it's no different than an offensive lineman coming up to the line and he's ready to play ball, you know.
Yeah.
And they know that, you know, these bulls understand that. They understand their meaning in life, you know. They were bred to do this, and they know what they're supposed to do.
Well, you know, but before, you know, this podcast comes to a close, I'd like to ask, on average, about how many I guess, events do you go to, not including like the major PBR events?
Well, we probably this year went to, oh, I'm going to say probably 25 events.
Yeah.
We probably went to 11 or 12, built four Tufts. And then we also have a PBR bull team deal that used to be the CBR bull teams, which now the PBR owns them. So we have two teams for that. So we get to go to the Velocity Tours and we go to probably, 5 to 10 of those events a year. And not counting the Futurities and the Classics and all the Derbies. And so we're right at about 25 to 30 events total on the year. So that's a busy year. And we get
Yeah.
2 months off. And you really don't get months off because you got competition deals that are going on when the PBR is not going. But we normally don't take like our PBR bulls that we take to the Built Four Toughs. We give them that 2 month break, or we breed to them. That gives us our breeding times.
Yeah.
June and July is when we start breeding. So that works good for us, and that gives me time to get my bulls back in shape, exercise them after we pull them off of cows and just get them fed back up, because it does take a lot out of them when you go to breeding a bunch of cows. And
Yeah.
so, but we've kind of figured out how to get all that done with good feed and supplements that we use. And I like my bulls fat and sassy, so I'm they're kind of like me. When I start wintering this winter, I like to get fat and sassy, and then I slim down in the summer months. So
Yeah.
it kind of all works out. But I just totally enjoy everything that we do with our bulls. And
Yeah.
I don't think I could do anything ever to change that. I think when a person finds his passion and his love for a job, I think you put that much more effort into it.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't think of anything better that I could ever do with my life, because it's family owned and operated, and we do it together, so
Yeah.
that makes it even more special in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man, for being on my podcast tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome, and I appreciate you giving me the time to come on and talk about my animals.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Well, before we end, I would like to say thank you to our sponsors, Dennis Davis Bucking Bull Company, world-class bucking bull trainers. And before I end, Dennis actually wanted me to tell you hi whenever I was talking to him earlier, just about bulls and all that stuff.
Yeah,
So,
I like Dennis a lot. He's a good friend of mine, and I'd do anything in the world for that man.
yeah. Well, again, thank you for hopping on tonight, and I hope to, talk to you later down in the future.
It sounds wonderful, and maybe you can give me another podcast deal if we can get Big Black to win the ABBI World this year.
Oh, yeah, anytime, man, anytime.
You bet. You all have a great time.
Thank you. You too, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.